Welcome to the Real Life English Podcast, where we help dedicated English learners just like you cultivate the courage, the confidence, and the skills that you need to understand real life native English, to communicate clearly with people from all around the world, and to make your life an epic global adventure. Now, are you ready to go beyond the classroom and start living your English? Can I get an aw yeah?
In today's podcast episode, you'll get some more practice with your English idiomatic vocabulary by learning some animal idioms. Idioms are a type of figurative language which can be very confusing for English language learners.
Now, there are tons of expressions that use animals, and we use them all the time. If you stick around until the end, you won't be so confused when English-speaking friends use them, or when you hear them when watching TV and movies. Plus, you'll have a fun new way of expressing yourself in English.
Don't forget to check out our Instagram at reallife.english because we have a special bonus lesson for you there where you can learn idioms with insects.
Yeah, boys and girls, citizens of the world, this is Ethan from Real Life English, where we believe that listening to podcasts is a fun, natural, convenient, and
show-stopping
way to learn English. So download this podcast and listen to it while you're stuck in traffic, riding a tiger, taming an elephant, or even
playing with your cat or dog.
I'm joined here in the virtual Barcelona studio, as always, by the lovely Andrea. How's it going, Andrea?
I'm good, thank you. I was trying to stop myself from laughing there just at the intro. Some of the things you mentioned there that were making me laugh. Yeah.
Yeah, because everyone, you know, rides tigers and tames elephants while listening to our podcasts.
Yeah, for sure. They are dangerous. They like danger.
Yeah, you have to be a very good multitasker to be able to do those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think I'd want to, but yeah.
That reminded me of, like, some people say, my middle name is Danger.
Sounds like something from Bond, or right, like a spoof, you know, of the Bond movies.
You like to live dangerously.
Yes. It sounds like you do, Ethan.
Yeah.
You came up with them.
Maybe it's from Austin Powers, I think. That's a great... A great series of movies, if anyone likes spy movies, but it's humorous, and it's with, like, Mike Myers, who's an incredible voice actor.
Yeah, those are hilarious, especially the first one. The first one's always the best, but there's some good movies.
Of course. Yeah. So we might have to do a lesson with that, but I'm getting ahead of ourselves, or we're going off on a tangent actually there. Before we get into talking all about different animal idioms that you can start using in your everyday life, we have a shout out to a very special listener and app user.
So today's shout out comes from Ashish Raj, and he says, I belong to a poor family. I have always had a fear of speaking English. Due to this app now, I've overcome my fear thanks to you. I will never forget your help and what you did for me. Yours, Ashish from India.
Wow, Ashish, that's really great to hear. I'm so glad to hear that you are building your confidence when speaking. I think that's one of the biggest opportunities that many people are finding with the app, is that they just have been learning English for so long, but they've never gotten the opportunity to speak. And so when that happens, you study and you study, you study, you start to just be very in your head about making mistakes, about even being able to open your mouth and start speaking. You know, you have so much self-doubt that can be attributed to that. So it's really important as soon as possible that you start using your English so you can overcome those, just like Ashish has. So if you want to overcome your fears, then you can head over to the Apple App Store or to the Google Play Store and search for Real Life English and download the app. It's absolutely free. You just have to make an account, and at the press of a button, you can start speaking with other people and discovering other cultures. And the other great thing is you can listen to this podcast and so many more with a full transcript and vocabulary, which is going to help you a lot to understand and to learn a lot more with it. And if you enjoy it, you can leave us a 5-star review in whatever app store you're using, and we might just shout you out, just like we have Ashish today. So that said, we have a burning question from another one of our audience members before we get into talking about animal idioms.
So this week, I actually went on Instagram and asked our podcast listeners there to send me an email or a message with an audio of their burning question. And I've already had a few come in, which is amazing. If you want to send in your burning question via email, you can basically record your name, where you're from, and your burning question, and you can email it to me, Andrea@reallifeglobal.com, and we'll be selecting a burning question from you each week. So let's listen to today's burning question, and then we're going to answer it for you.
My name is Gaby. I'm from Mexico. I live in Aguascalientes. And my question is, what could I start a conversation like, ¿cómo conociste la aplicación Real Life? Like, if it's better to say, how do you know about the app? Or how have you know about the app? What's the difference? And thank you so much. Or if it's another way to say that, more natural. Thank you. Have a nice day.
I think that's a great question because I, obviously living here in Spain, I think this is something that lots of people struggle with, like how to ask this question. And it can sound very different if you just translate it from your language. Maybe it's the same in your native language too. So I think it's a good one because I think many listeners might be confused with something like this. And also it relates to the app, so we can help our app users to ask this question if it's something they want to.
Right. I think this problem comes out of that many languages like Spanish, Portuguese, even German have two words for no, for the verb to know. But in English, we just have one. But we also do have other words that we might use in place of where you would use one of those verbs for know. So she said, ¿cómo conociste a la aplicación? Which is like, how did you blank verb for know the app? And the word conocer, like in English, might usually be translated to meet, which you would use if you meet a person, right? But when you're talking about something like an app or a place, we wouldn't use the word meet because we tend to reserve this for people. So I think there's a few different expressions here, Andrea, that we could teach. So there's meet, there's know, there's get to know, and there's learn about. So first of all, we already mentioned know would be like the kind of typical word that people would know for meaning this, which has to do with knowledge, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think what's confusing about this one is that maybe in other languages, they don't really have phrasal verbs, whereas in English,
that too,
we have loads of phrasal verbs. We love to use them. And I think that may also help here.
Mm-hmm. So we have know for pieces of information. We have meet for people. But maybe if we're talking about a place or an app, for example, then we might use a different kind of expression or phrasal verb. So one that we might say is get to know, mm-hmm. right? Like, how did you get to know the app? That's one way that you could say it. And we also use this like when you're talking about acquiring information over time almost. Like, for example, if someone just moved to Barcelona, then Andrea or I could ask, like, how are you liking the city? And they could say, oh, I'm still getting to know mm-hmm. it, like, because they're still discovering it.
Yeah. Or if you start a new relationship and someone gets really excited, maybe your friend, oh, how's it going? Like, are you going to do this? Are you going to travel together? Are you going to move in together? And they might say, we're still getting to know each other.
Right. Yeah. That's a great example of how you could use that. So what's another way that Gabby could ask this question on the app?
So she could also say, how did you learn about the app? Because it's like, how did you discover it? How did you learn mm-hmm. about the app? Is it through watching our YouTube channel? Is it from our Instagram? Is it from the podcast? Or is it all of them? Like, you just don't know. And when you use the app, you'll find that people come from different places and maybe don't know about one of our channels as well.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I think there's maybe a final, there might be more ways to say this. You even mentioned one like discover,
yeah.
But I think discover we use less in English than maybe in other languages. But what's the final way that Gabby could say this?
You could also say, how did you find out about the app?
That's really great because it's a phrasal verb we use all the time, right? To find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like if you go out to eat in a restaurant and you really like it, you could say to your friend, how did you find out about this place? And again, it's just mm-hmm. a more informal way to say, how did you discover it, really? A more natural way of speaking.
Exactly. So there you have it, Gabby. You have You can say that expression as get to know something, learn about something, or find out about something. You can choose whichever one you like the most. So we hope that this has been helpful to you, Gabby, and to our other dear listeners. And now we're really excited to get into the topic about animal idioms, because this is something that we really enjoy. And we have actually a humongous list of these. Mm-hmm. We're not going to get to all of them today. So do let us know if you like it and if you want even more of them. But I'm getting ahead of ourselves, so let's jump into today's main topic. Hey there, Real Lifer. Have you downloaded the Real Life English app yet? On the app, Andrea and I will guide you beyond the classroom to live, learn, and even speak English in the real world. So how do we do this? To start with, you can listen to the Real Life English podcast and Beyond Borders talk show, even this very episode, with digital transcripts so that you can follow along and develop your listening fluency. Plus, check dozens of definitions of all the most difficult vocabulary, idioms, phrasal verbs, slang, and so much more that you won't find anywhere else or in any other podcast. And how would you like to develop real-life speaking confidence at the touch of a button by speaking with other learners while making friends across cultures? Sounds like a dream, right? Well, now with the Real Life app, it will be a dream come true. Download the app to listen to our podcast with transcripts and definitions whenever and wherever you want, and speak with people from all around the world. What are you waiting for? Join our global community today by clicking the link in the description of this podcast or by going to www.realifeglobal.com/app. That's APP. Or simply search for the Real Life English app in the Google Play or Apple App Store today, and let us guide you beyond the classroom to live and learn and speak English in the real world. Ah, yeah.
So, Sorry, I stumbled there because I had a frog in my throat, Ethan, and I had to drink some water.
Ooh. What does that mean if you have a frog in your throat?
It's like, you know, when your voice gets a bit raspy or it doesn't come out clearly because there's just something in your throat and you need to clear it, maybe by drinking some water or coughing.
I wonder if that's, I think I've heard before people, it's kind of offensive, but refer to French people as frogs. Mm. Is that because the accent maybe sounds like they have a frog in their throat, or maybe because they eat frogs?
Maybe. Initially, I thought maybe because of the frog's legs.
Frog legs and butter. I think that's a very Cajun thing from this, what do you call it? The Louisiana part of the States, the part of the States that used to be French.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So before we share some more, that one just kind of came up and we thought that we would teach you to have a frog in your throat, or don't actually call someone from France a frog. But if you hear that referring to a French person, you'll know what that means.
Yeah. So what I was going to say was that we mentioned earlier that idioms are figurative expressions whose meaning have no relation to the words in the phrase. This is why idioms can be quite a confusing part of learning English. Mm-hmm. But they can also be really fun because they're a creative way to share your ideas or your feelings. And so they're a really fun part of English, I think, because you don't want to overuse idioms, like you should use them sparingly. So not too often, because if you're having a conversation and you just keep using idioms, you're not going to sound very natural.
Yes. And I was going to say the same, that I think some learners, they get really excited because they learn some new idioms, but then they try to use it like a different idiom in every sentence or at every opportunity, using an idiom instead of maybe the more normal way to say it, or the less fun way to say it, which is great that you're learning them and stuff, but you should use them. It's almost like in a recipe, like salt in a recipe. If you put too much salt in, you ruin the dish. It doesn't taste good. But if you put a little bit in, then it's kind of like gives it that perfect taste, you know, that it's not too bland. It's just, it really brings out like the natural flavor. So use idioms like you would salt in your food. Don't pour in the whole the whole container.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's the best advice. That's our tip. So, you know, just don't use them. Don't go crazy with them, but learn them because you'll understand TV series, movies, people when you speak to them, if they use them. And then you can use them yourself as well, just not too much.
Right. So that's how we can start learning some of these. So we've actually categorized these by animal because there's many animals, for some reason, there's a lot of them. And I think it's just a lot of these probably have historical meaning, right? And so we probably spent the most time. So we have here like horses, dogs, and cats, which historically humans have spent a lot of time with these animals. And so probably because of that, many idioms have come from historical stories having to do with these animals. So that said, what's the first one having to do with horses, Andrea?
So the first one you might hear from the horse's mouth or straight from the horse's mouth.
Ooh, and what does that mean? That's kind of an odd one, right? Because horses, last time I checked, do not speak.
I know. So by this, you mean that you hear it directly from the person who has knowledge about it. Mm. So rather than something being gossip or like rumors just going around, it comes from more of a reliable source.
Right. Maybe anyone who's a fan of Adele, a lot of people love her music. She has a song called Through the Grapevine, right? And that's like the opposite. If you hear something through the grapevine, you're hearing it secondhand. You're not hearing it directly from the person.
Exactly, yeah.
So that said, what could be an example of from the horse's mouth?
So maybe you're having a conversation with someone, or maybe you're having a meeting at work and one of your colleagues gives you some new information and you might say, where did you hear this? I haven't heard this. How do you know this information? And you could say, well, I heard it straight from the horse's mouth. I just had a meeting with our boss and he just told me this news.
That's a perfect example. Yeah. So it's kind of like, yeah, a lot of times when someone isn't expecting something or something doesn't seem believable, you might use this to say, no, like it comes from straight from the source, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Andrea and I, before we start recording, as we often do, we're talking about food and it's about lunchtime here in Barcelona. So I could say I'm so hungry right now, Andrea, that I could eat a horse.
Oh my gosh, me too.
Which is funny because neither of us eat meat, so we would probably never actually eat a horse. I actually did try horse once here in Spain and before I gave up eating meat, but that's another story. So if you say you're so hungry you could eat a horse, I'm sure people can tell from the context that you're very, very hungry. It's almost like you could eat an entire horse, which is a huge animal.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just because a horse is so big. That's why it's so significant in this one. It just describes how hungry you are.
Exactly. And our next one, we all know someone maybe who thinks a lot of themselves. So you could tell them to get off their high horse.
Yeah. This one's funny. It's like, when someone's on their high horse, they're acting like they're better than everyone else. So when you tell someone to get off your high horse, you're telling them to stop being so arrogant.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully you don't have too many friends that you need to tell that because those kind of people might not be the most pleasant to spend time around, but they do exist, of course. There's some people that love to talk about themselves.
Yeah. So there might be some times where you have to use it, but hopefully not too often.
Right. All right. The next one, I think, have you used this much in the classroom since you worked with kids, Andrea?
I don't know. I don't think they would understand me. I think maybe this one is a little bit more dated. Would you say it's a little bit old-fashioned?
Maybe. I think I definitely heard it from my mom, though. When I was little, me and my brother, I don't know if this happened with your sister, but we would, you know, fight a lot or kind of like pick on each other. And so she would say, stop horsing around, you too.
Yeah. Stop horsing around. What are you doing? Are you acting like a horse?
I guess it's something like that, right? Like maybe, I don't know, maybe it comes from like baby horses, which I think are called colts. Colts is a baby horse, right? Like playing or something like that.
Yeah. So it's like stop messing around or stop messing about, isn't it?
But it's especially with kids because you could say messing around, for example, to, I don't know, someone at work who's not doing what they're supposed to, you could say like, stop messing around, but you wouldn't say stop horsing around. That's like to two people, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Another, maybe it's a more modern alternative, might be roughhousing. Would you use that in the UK?
Roughhousing? No. I haven't heard that one.
That's another one I heard a lot from my mom. So yeah, stop roughhousing, you two. Might be another thing she'd say if we're kind of like fighting or picking on each other.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that one.
So we were talking about this expression this year because we did a video on the Oscars, and the Oscars were a little bit strange this year because of COVID. There weren't really like movies didn't go to theater. And so a lot of people hadn't even heard of the movies that were up for an award. So why did we use this expression, this next expression, Andrea?
Yeah. So the next expression is dark horse. And this usually happens like in a competition or some sort of contest. It's not really the person or the thing that you expect to win. It's maybe a lesser known contender, like a lesser known participant, and they're kind of judged as unlikely to win. So you would call them a dark horse. And then obviously if they do go on to win, then you could say, oh, that was such a dark horse. Like you didn't expect them to win.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a great expression. It's kind of like one of those one that there's no other word for that, right?
Yeah. And it's used a lot in various competitions, like whether it's horse racing, wrestling, probably like boxing, in football as well, like across sports, you'll probably hear this a lot because maybe someone just surprises you and does really well or wins a competition and they would be described as a dark horse.
Right. All right. And then we have two more with horses before we move on to other animals. So this is one actually I just heard the other day, so I added it here. And it's, you can lead a horse to water. And there's actually, it comes from a longer expression, which is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink, or you can't force it to drink. And what this means is that basically you can teach someone something, you can show someone how to do something, but in the end, it's up to them whether or not they're going to do it. So for example, if you're teaching someone English and you're saying, oh, it's much better to say get to know than to say discover. But maybe that person just keeps using discover. So you could say, okay, well, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but if he wants to use discover, then he's going to use discover.
Yeah. It's like you're saying, well, I tried to help them, but I can't force them to accept my help or my suggestion.
Exactly. And that's another one that's really great because there's not really any other great way to say that. So sometimes you just need an idiom because there's no better way to say it.
Yeah. And yeah, it's more creative.
Exactly. So what's the last one, the last horse related idiom that we have today?
The last one is one trick pony.
One trick pony. What the heck is that?
So you describe a person or thing as a one trick pony if they only have like one special feature or one special talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wouldn't it be also like, I kind of think of this maybe if someone has done something that's really impressive, but then they aren't able to kind of like reproduce it. Like they were a one trick pony. For example, maybe if a band comes out with a hit that's, which we might call like a one hit wonder because they came out with this hit, the song that was just so popular, everyone knew about the song, but then you never hear about that band again. And might say, well, they were just, you know, that band was just a one trick pony.
Yes, that's true. It's used like that as well. I think this one apparently comes from the circus when, like, obviously I don't agree with these types of things now. I think they do probably do still happen, but there can be some animal cruelty in them. But back in the day, like if there were pony shows and things like that, and maybe there was a pony that just knew how to do one trick. I think that's where this idiom came from.
That makes sense. A pony is just like a smaller horse, right? In case people aren't familiar with that animal, which a lot of maybe rich children might have pony. You didn't grow up with a pony, did you, Andrea?
I grew up with My Little Pony, you know, toys. And watching the TV series, but not an actual pony, no.
Yeah.
Not in London.
I think that's like a British stereotype Americans might have, is that every British person, every British girl has a pony.
Maybe girls that live out in the country.
Right. The Queen.
Yeah, the Queen.
All the Queen's children, grandchildren probably had ponies. She loves horses, so I hear.
She does. She loves animals. Like, I think there's like, some people mention things like she treats animals better than humans and things like that. Maybe it's insinuated in the crown. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. So she loves horses. And another thing that she loves are corgis, corgi dogs, right? Is her one of her claims to fame. So Let's talk about dogs, dog idioms. So the first one we have, if there's any fans of Modern Family, if you've never seen that show and you like comedies, you have to watch that one because it is hilarious. But there's the character Gloria, who's from Colombia, and so she's not a native English speaker. And sometimes she confuses the idioms. She'll say them wrong. So she thinks that this next one is that it's a doggy dog world, which a doggy is like the diminutive of dog. It's a nice way to say dog, but she got it wrong. So what is it actually?
It's a dog eat dog world. So eat as in E-A-T. It's a dog eat dog world, not doggy dog, which sounds really cute.
It does. Yeah. And probably the history of that is like something dark that I imagine, but it's just like to say it's a rough world, right? It's things are difficult out there.
Yeah. Usually like maybe if you have a very competitive workplace or things like that, you could say it's a dog eat dog world out there. It's really tough.
Mm. I think there's another similar one that we might've had in our list, which is to say like a rat race.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That refers a lot to professional environments as well, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. That it's kind of like, it's very competitive in a sense that you're throwing other people under the bus. That's another idiom, but it's kind of like to say that, you know, you're not, instead of us helping each other so that everyone can kind of win, everyone can be successful, it's like, you know, everyone's clawing their way to the top.
Yeah, like you could just imagine these rats like running all over each other and not caring about anyone else, but just themselves to get to the top.
Right. So it's a dog eat dog world. And it's very easy that I think in either American or British, it's very easy that someone could hear doggy dog instead of doggy dog instead of dog eat dog, because we kind of swallow that T there. It's a glottal T. So it becomes dog eat dog. And that sound doesn't really exist in most languages. So you might not even really notice it. Just a quick interruption to ask you a question. Do you ever feel frustrated when you are listening to a podcast, watching a TV series, or you are in a conversation in English and you do not understand what is said? Wouldn't it be great if there was some way to understand real English without getting lost and without getting bored? Well, now there is. With our Real Life Native Immersion course, we will take you on a 41-week real-life adventure of the English language, each week exploring a different topic connected to our goal to help you understand and use your English in the real world. Just imagine understanding your favorite TV series without subtitles, or confidently speaking with someone and comprehending everything they say. You can do it, and we're here to help. And the best part is, you can try it for free with our 3-part Power Learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. That's P-O-D. Or simply click the link in the description of this episode. Okay, the next one, this one's a really fantastic one to use if you're in a relationship or something, right?
Yes. To be in the doghouse. Have you been in the doghouse, Ethan?
I have not really. I mean, I suppose everyone has it one time or another, right?
Yeah,
is it mostly something that happens to men? Like, I think I hear it usually referring to men.
Yeah, maybe it's a bit of a stereotype, but it tends to be men. Like, especially when you watch TV shows and movies, it tends to be the guys that are in the doghouse.
That's true. Yeah. You don't tend to see, like it doesn't tend to be the woman who has to sleep on the couch, for example.
Yeah. So it's basically when you've had an argument or something with your significant other and, you know, they're like, you're not sleeping in our bed tonight, or you're in the doghouse, and then they take their pillow and they go and sleep on the sofa or in the spare room or something.
Yeah. And I think you think of it especially, well, the stereotypes with men. So you think of it especially when like it was the man's fault, like he did something really wrong, like he forgot about Valentine's Day. He's in the doghouse.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that he literally has to go and sleep in the doghouse, because maybe this couple doesn't own a dog. Maybe you don't have a doghouse, or you don't have a garden where you'd have a doghouse and stuff like that. But it's quite a nice expression. It means like you're, in a sense, out of the house. You know, you're not in the good books.
Yeah. It's kind of funny to imagine as well, you know, just like a guy who's gone with his pillow and his blanket and he's going and sleeping in the doghouse with the dog.
Yeah.
Not so pleasant, because the dog tends to lick your face. So I would not want to be in that position. He wouldn't sleep very well. All right. So the next one we say, don't kick a dog when it's down.
Yeah. So obviously you should not kick a dog anyway. But if you kick a dog when it's down, it's like, there's another one. Don't throw salt in the wound, isn't it? That's quite similar. Yeah.
So it's basically, you can imagine if someone has like a cut or something and you put salt in it, it hurts a lot. So it's kind of like you're making something bad worse. So maybe your friend just got dumped by their girlfriend or boyfriend and you're saying, well, you know, you were really naggy or you were really hard on him or her. And you'd be like, you know, why are you kicking a dog when it's down? Or why are you throwing salt in the wound? It's like you're making something that's already difficult even worse.
Exactly. Yeah. Perfectly explained.
All right. Well, we don't have much time left. So when something is like all the rage, maybe it's really popular, it's really trendy. Actually, Andrew was just telling me before, I have to watch a Netflix series called Squid Game because it's the cat's meow.
This one's quite cool. Yeah, this one just means that something is excellent, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like the coolest, the trendiest.
Yeah. I think, have you also heard the cat's whiskers?
I have not heard that.
Maybe that one's maybe a bit more sense. British. Yeah, it's kind of similar.
But it's such a funny thing because cats, what is a meow? What is a cat's meow?
Yeah, because maybe it's different in other languages because I know animal sounds can be different. So in English, the sound that a cat makes, like meow, we call it a meow and it's spelled M-E-O-W. So they make a purring sound, P-U-R-R, when they're just like purring and relaxing. But when you hear that sound, meow. Yeah. Yeah. So the cat's meow is just the sound it makes. Yeah.
So it's like the, something super cool, something super trendy. It's the cat's meow. So like this new show is the cat's meow because like everyone's watching it, right?
Yeah. It really is right now.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things my mom pointed out here in Barcelona stuck out to her a lot is bear midriff is the cat's meow in Barcelona right now, which it means like the women, it's very trendy right now for women to wear tops where like you can see their belly button, where you can see their stomach, right?
Yeah. Midriff is a way to describe that middle part of your body. Like between your chest and just above your belly button.
Right. So I hadn't really noticed this before that it's like trendy here, but obviously since she doesn't live here, it stuck out to her as something really different. So you could say that like right now that's the cat's meow to dress that way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really great one when you want to describe anything that's trendy or really good.
Most definitely. And this other one, I also love all the cat ones. They're really great. So if someone doesn't have a good rebuttal, right, to something you said, maybe you make a joke at their expense and they're just like silent. They're trying to think of something they could say. You could say, what cat got your tongue?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if you're going at it with someone, maybe if you're having an argument with someone and you become quite dominant or fiery, and then all of a sudden you don't know what to say, you might hear that response. And again, I think we've mentioned this one in the past, like it's just funny because you'd imagine a cat like holding your tongue so you can't speak, but it just basically means like what's wrong? Do you have nothing to say now?
Mm-hmm. I wonder do you think you could use that in other situations? Like I was thinking maybe you have a teenager or something, you know, you're at the dinner table asking them how their day was and maybe they're just moody. They don't really want to speak. Could you say like, cat got your tongue? You can't talk?
Yeah. It's true. That's a good example too. When someone is just generally quite quiet, you don't even have to be arguing with them. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, but it might be a little bit, it's not like a very caring way to say it, right? It's not like showing like, is there something wrong with, like if you wanted to say like, is everything okay? Is everything all right? You don't want to use that expression. But if it's someone that you're close to and you're kind of like wanting in a playful way to say, why aren't you speaking? Then you could use that one.
More playful and maybe with a bit more attitude in some instances as well.
Could say a bit sassy.
Yes.
So we're going to do finally a couple fish ones or a couple seafood ones or sea life ones, depending. Maybe you don't eat seafood, so you just think of it as sea life. So what does it mean, Andrea, if someone says that they have bigger fish to fry?
Ooh, so basically, what someone means by this is they have more important things to do or worry about.
Right. Maybe if your boyfriend or girlfriend comes up to you and they say, I can't find my keys, and they're you know, you're in the middle of working, you have like a really important presentation coming up or something. You're like, I can't worry about your keys right now. I have bigger fish to fry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've got more important things on my mind, more important things to do. It's like something that's not really worth your time so much.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I guess you imagine that as someone wants you to fry a small fish, but you can't do it because you've got all these big fish and the small fish isn't important.
Yeah, basically.
And then our last one, this is kind of a cute one, I think. If you don't want to just say you're happy, you could use this one. So what would you say?
Yeah. Happy as a clam.
Yeah. So you might use this one. This is kind of like another one you could use playfully with your friends or something like that. So it could be like, oh, Andrea, you're all smiles. You look happy as a clam today. What's up?
Yeah. It's just a more fun way of saying you look happy, isn't it? You're right. Happy as a clam.
Which is really funny because clams don't really strike me as the happiest of animals.
I know, because a clam is a shellfish, isn't it? And like, it doesn't even have a face or anything, does it?
I guess maybe you imagine like the ones in Alice in Wonderland or something, the classic one that are, you know, like singing and things.
Yeah, some animated ones.
All right, well, you have to head over now to our Instagram at reallife.english if you want to get even more, because we're going to be doing an exclusive lesson over there teaching you some idioms that use insects. And we have all sorts of these that you can start adding to your everyday English. And as I said, we have a very long list of these that we'd love to teach you. So let us know if you enjoyed this episode, and maybe we can do a part two of animal idioms. That said, thanks so much for joining us this week on the Real Life English Podcast, and we look forward to seeing you soon. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, yeah.
Hey again, I hope you enjoyed today's lesson. Don't be a stranger. You can find all the notes like vocabulary, links, and more for this lesson on our blog at reallifeglobal.com. And connect with us and on Instagram at reallife.english for even more fun English recommendations. Do you want to continue your learning and get confident, fluent English? Then I have a couple great recommendations for you. First of all, check out our YouTube channel, Learn English with TV Series, where you can have fun learning to understand fast-speaking natives with your favorite movies, series, and more without getting lost, without missing the jokes, and without subtitles. Second, if you like our podcast, then our real-life native immersion course is perfect for you. It is the next best thing to studying abroad in an English-speaking country. Try it for free with our 3-part power learning series. Just go to reallifeglobal.com/pod to sign up. Finally, if you are enjoying our podcast, then please assist us in helping more people go beyond the classroom and live their English. You can do this by sending a link to this podcast to a friend, or by leaving us a 5-star review wherever you are listening. We might even shout you out on the podcast. Stay healthy and safe, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Aw, yeah.